Good morning, everyone. Hope you all can hear me. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Ellie Weissman. It's kind of just building the anxiety of this moment is that I have to speak here in the gym. For those of you who know me, this hasn't been the place of my greatest successes. All right, it's worth a try. The title of this morning's shiur, speech, however we want to call it, is Does Hashem Pray? Which, if you think about it, is a bit of a quandary in general, because why would Hashem pray? And even more interesting is, who would he pray to at all? Nevertheless, it's something that comes up in the Gemara. And what makes it even more interesting and engaging is that if we start thinking about prayer and start wondering, who is it that invented prayer? If you go all the way back to the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara says, Tfila Avot Tiknun, that the prayers that we say, Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, were invented by the forefathers, not by God. So too, even the text that we say isn't, for the most part, except for Shema, found in the Torah, but they were put together over various generations by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, by later on by Rabban Gamliel and his people in Yavne. So all of that makes it even odder. So even if God, let's say, ultimately agrees that, yeah, prayer is a good thing and we should all be doing it, we would hardly expect that Hashem would pray. But nonetheless, if you go to the Gemara, you'll find out that not only does Hashem pray, but he does even more than that. We start off with a Gemara in Brachos, Dav Vav Amud Aleph. If you don't have the sheets, don't worry about it. I will try to keep everyone interested. They're just there so you know I'm not making things up. So the Gemara in Brachos, Dav Vav Amud Aleph, says as follows. Amar Rabbi Avin bar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Meniach Tefillin. How do we know that the Holy One, blessed be He, puts on tefillin? And so it goes on to quote a pasuk in Tehillim, Shneimar Nishpa Hashem Bimino Vizra Uzo. It says God swore with His right hand and Bizra Uzo, and with his powerful arm. Bimino Uzo Torah, his right hand, that's referring to Torah. Shenemar, as it says, in Vizos HaBracha, Mimino Eshtas Lama. Uvizra Uzo, and with his powerful arm, this is referring, Elu Tefillin, Shenemar Hashem Oz Lamo Yiteh. So the Gemara in Brachos, Davav Amud Aleph, starts off with the statement that Hashem wears tefillin. If he wears tefillin, so then the question is, does he daven also while he's wearing those tefillin? And so the Gemara in Brachos, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, asks the question, only two dafim later after the Gemara about tefillin, asks the question, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi, Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mitzpalel. The Gemara asks the question, how do we know that Hashem davens? Shinemar, as it says, and we all know it because it's a song, V'havyotim el har kodshi, V'simachtim b'veit tefilati. It says, I will bring him to my holy mountain, or I will bring him, and I will make them happy, b'veit tefilati, in the house of, what does tefilati mean? My prayer. So if it means my prayer, that means that Hashem is davening. So tfilatam lo ne'emar, it doesn't say their prayer, meaning the prayer of the Jewish people. Ela tfilati, rather it says my prayer. To which the Gemara then concludes, Mikan shakarish baruch hu mitpalel. Why would God need a house of prayer if he wasn't praying in that house? Which of course leads to our next question, which is, what does God say? I mean, if you think about it, when we daven, we say, oh, please, God, please give me this. Or, oh, please, God, thank you for this. Or, oh, God, I wish you would do this for me. What could possibly God be saying in his davenings? So the Gemara asks that question, my matzli, what does God daven for? So Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav, Yehi Ratzon Milafanai, let it be my will, Sheyich Beshur Rachamai Et Ka'asai, that my compassion should overwhelm my anger, V'yagolu Rachamai Amidotai, and that my mercy will prevail over all my other attributes like anger, etc. That Nahegim Banai B'midat Rachamim, and allow me, God says, to deal with my children with compassion. V'kaneis lahem lifnim mishurat adim, and I should always give them beyond the letter of the law, meaning always be in their favor. And the Gemara goes on, and this is one of my favorite little stories, that Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha was once entering into the Holy of Holies to bring Ketores. And what does he say? I saw Hashem there in the Holy of Holies, assuming, I guess, Hashem was there to daven as well. And what does he say? He was sitting al kisei ram v'nisa, he was sitting on his great throne, the Amar Li, and God says to me right at that moment, b'ni barcheni, he says, Yishmael, my child, bless me. And amarti lo, so I said to God, I pray that your prayer should come true. Yehi ratzon milfanecha, sheyich beshur rachamecha et kascha, v'yagol rachamecha midotecha, v'titnaheg banecha b'midat harachamim, v'tikhanes lahem lifni mishurat adin. I pray that all that you pray for should come true. And it says, v'nen nali v'rosho, God nodded to me. Again, a very odd statement in general. The Kamash Milan, we learn from here, Shalot Hir Birchot Hedro Kalabei Necha, that even if a simpleton gives you a blessing, you should appreciate it. And that's because if God is appreciating Rabbi Yishmael's blessing, so we should certainly be appreciative if anyone else gives us a blessing. But the upshot of the Gemara, once we've seen the whole thing inside, is that the Gemara is fairly certain that Hashem is davening. Not only is Hashem is davening with tefillin. What about Elul time? Does God say slichos also? The answer to that question would seem to be yes. If you go to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Bet, and this is the last source on the first page here, the Gemara says, Vayavor Hashem al panav, Hashem passed over his face, meaning Moshe's, Vayikra, and he called out. So what does that mean, that God is passing over Moshe's face? So here, Amar Rav Yochanan says, Ilmale Mikra Katuv, Yav Shalom Ro, if it weren't written, we wouldn't be allowed to say it. Me'ameid, this is to teach us, Shenitateva Kadosh Baruch Hu Keshliach Tzibur, God wrapped himself in a talis, just like he was a chazan, like he was leading the congregation. Ve'aralo L'Moshe, and he showed Moshe, Seder Tfila, he showed Moshe how to say Slichos. Amar Lo, and he says to him, Kol Zman Sheyisrael Chotin, Yasu Lefanai Keseder Hazeh. That any time Israel sins, let them do before me just like this. So the question is, who was the first person ever to leave Slichos? The answer, according to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, seems to be Hashem. So here we have this very, very bold statement from the Gemara, ones which would seem, I guess from a philosophical perspective, to be really, really hard to understand. Because we all know that God is perfect in every way. There's nothing wrong with God. God doesn't need anything. And we also know that there's no higher power than God. God is the highest power in the universe and beyond. So if he's the highest power, who and why is he praying? And when I started to research this subject, because I thought it was a very, very odd statement and there has to be more going on here, I saw that there were really three perspectives overall, and I'm going to give you an example of each of the three perspectives. And what I think also is interesting about these three perspectives is that each one of these perspectives, I think, give us a very, very important lesson about tefillah and about the way we can daven and become better daveners ourselves, which I think is one of the goals of our week, our tefillah week this week. The first perspective overall is the rationalists. What are rationalists? Rationalists think things need to make sense, they need to be practical, they need to be clear. That's what the rationalists think. No one's going to be more upset about a physical depiction of God than a rationalist. No one's going to be more disturbed by the notion that God prays than a rationalist. So they're the ones who are going to be forced the most to try to find some sort of answer or way to look at this thing. And here I went to the Chidushi HaGaonim. If you want to find good rationalists, you go to the Gaonim. Okay, the Gaonim say there's a very, very practical explanation to this Talmud, this Talmudic statement. Don't go around thinking Hashem is davening, he's not hopping up in the morning and putting on his tefillin. That's not what happens. He says, listen. Oto sha'a limeid seder ha'tfilah, kasher her'aru min ha'shamayim tfilat ha'tatanit, sh'aru lo l'moshe rabbeinu min ha'shamayim, kedei she'yitpalela ba ha'sharui bedochak. So he says, listen, Moshe was wondering, Hashem, what are we supposed to do? Right? The other nations, they bring sacrifices, they try to bribe their gods. What are we supposed to do? So God has to explain to Moshe how it is that you daven. He says, if it's a fast day, if it's a day that you really feel like you need to call out to me, this is what you do. If it's a good day and you want to be thankful, this is what you do. If you're worried about the future, this is how you daven. And Hashem basically acted it out for Moshe in order that people should do this for generations. And when they sin, that's the ultimate test. So God says, I got to show you how to do these slichos because they're a little bit different than every other daven. Where do we see a model for this? So Rashba, Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderet, he also supports this explanation of the Gaonim, and the Rashba says, it's just like the Mishkan. Right? When God said to Moshe, build a Mishkan and build me a menorah and build me an Aron and build me all of these things, he didn't know what they looked like. So the Medrash tells us that what did Hashem do? Hashem made holographic pictures for him so Moshe would be able to see. God sometimes does things in order to show us how properly we need to do it. That's how the rationalists explain this case here. What's interesting is if you go a few generations into the future, Rabbi Moshe Alshich loves this. Why does he love this? He loves this because he feels like this fits into a broader issue that we have within our religious experience, which is called the Halachta Bidrachav. If you want, if you're ever reading the Rav, so he always translates it in Latin, imitatio Dei, which just means imitating God. We have a mitzvah, the Alshich says, in our Torah that tells us we need to be like God. And therefore, if God wants us to do a certain thing, he does it first. He wants us to build a Mishkan, so what does he do? He builds a Mishkan in front of Moshe, so Moshe will know how to do it. But more importantly, Hashem wants us to have certain midos. He wants us to have certain characteristics. Mahu rachum, mafata rachum. God is compassionate, so we need to be compassionate. God visits Avraham when he's sick, so we should visit people when they're sick. God clothes Adam Harishon and Chava when they're naked and they need clothes, so we should provide clothes and tzedakah for people. The characteristics that Hashem wants us to have, he does first. And the Alshich says that's what's going on here also. What's going on here also is, and he's very careful to notice the language here, when Hashem says about slichos in particular, he doesn't say, hitpalelu lefanai keseder hazeh. He doesn't say, pray like this. What does he say? Asu lefanai keseder hazeh. He says, I want you to do, to act like this. I am slow to anger. I am forgiving. I am compassionate. I want you also to be slow to anger. I want you also to be compassionate. I want you also to be caring and loving like me. But if we take this even further, I think we get even a more powerful explanation. Why does Hashem pray now according to the Alshich? Hashem prays because he wants us to follow him and to be prayerful people. What does that mean to be a prayerful people? It's very, very hard in this day and age to pray. The people who have the easiest time praying are the people who have everything. If you have everything, you don't need to pray. It's the hardest to pray. But if you need things, If you are poor and you have no money, if you have no food, if you are in a time of great distress, you have no trouble praying. It's not a difficult thing for you to do. Anybody can pray when they are needy. You know the old statement, there are no atheists in the foxhole. When you're in the middle of a war and there are bombs falling around you, everyone manages to find God at that moment. But what Hashem is telling us is, I want you to follow me, and I am willing to give up on my own honor, my own omnipotence, my own, you know, kind of separation from the world, and be a prayer, because I want you to be a prayer just like me. And this is one of the things we really need to get in touch with. We need to recognize that we are needy people, that we don't exist without Hashem. The first blessings that we say in the morning are blessings which thank Hashem for everything that we're able to do from the moment we open our eyes. Because Hashem wants us to realize that we are in need of Him. And so because He wants us to realize that we are in need of Him, He models for us prayer. Why does Hashem pray that he should be compassionate? Because He wants us also to be davening that He should be compassionate, that we should realize that we need Him. It's interesting, I found something that may kind of touch on this in Rav Soloveitchik's work, Worship of the Heart. It says, man is always in need because he is always in crisis and distress. And we don't realize it. We don't realize it because we go through our lives and everything is fine and we get up in the morning and we don't realize that we live and we breathe and we act and everything that happens to us only because Hashem is there for us. Inner distress expresses itself in man's disapproval of himself. It is impossible to imagine prayer without at this time feeling the nearness and greatness of the Creator. His absolute justice, His fatherly concern with human affairs, His anger and wrath caused by unjust deeds. When we bow in prayer, we must experience His soothing hand and the infinite love and mercy for His creatures. We cling to Him as living God, not as an abstract being. We are in His company and we are certain of His sympathy. There is in prayer an experience of emotions which can only be produced by direct contact with God. What it's saying here, I think, is that ultimately, in order to be a successful prayer, we need to feel that sense of need. And so Hashem says, you think life's good for you? You have everything? No, I'm Hashem. Life's great for me. I have everything I wanted because I'm perfect in every way, and still I pray. Now you, human being who was created by me, who needs me for everything in this entire world, you need to learn to be a prayerful person as well, because that will make your prayer more powerful. That will make your relationship with Hashem more powerful. So I believe the lesson number one that comes out of the rationalists is that Hashem wants us to be prayer for people. He wants us to feel that we need Him, and through that need, forge a relationship with Him. The next explanation is the symbolic. The Maharsha, Rabbi Shmuel Edels, if you're ever looking for someone who is going to read a Talmudic statement symbolically, the Maharsha is the place that you go. Here, he puts this fact that Hashem prays and puts on tefillin and acts as Shliach Tzibur in a different category. He puts it here in the first line, Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Palel, he says, V'inyano beit tefilatohu hamikdash shalmala hamechuvan neged hamikdash mata. What does he say? There is a Beis HaMikdash in the sky that parallels the Beis HaMikdash here on earth. And so too, even without a temple, there is a big synagogue in the sky that parallels our little synagogue here on earth, or perhaps a big cafeteria up in the sky that parallels our cafeteria here on earth. The point is that Hashem, for what there's this wild symbolic thread through all of Talmud that has things happening in Shamayim the same way that things happen here on earth. A spiritual parallelism, if you will, between the world above and the world below. Why is symbolism necessary? Symbolism is necessary to inspire us to do something we would not otherwise do. Think about it. Who would build a house to God if God is everywhere and God is nowhere at the same time? Then what point is there in building a house to God? What are you gaining from it? So what happens? Hashem builds a house upstairs, so we will know that we have to build a house downstairs as well. And also the question is, and this is the harder question to ask, why would we pray? Because to a certain extent, from a philosophical perspective, prayer shouldn't work. Let me give you two perspectives on it. Number one, we'll take two aspects of prayer. We'll take Shevach and we'll take Bakasha. Shevach is praise of Hashem. Bakasha is request that we make of God. So let's start with the Shevach. Right, before we even start to pray, before we even start to ask for anything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first thing that we start to do is butter him up. Oh God, you are great. Oh God, you are wonderful. Oh God, you're amazing, you created the world, look how beautiful, amazing, stupendous it is, etc. We say all of these things, and if you look at the second paragraph in the Gemara in Megillah Yedzayin Amud Bet, so it seems a bit odd. Because what does it say? Asur l'saper v'shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It should be completely prohibited to praise Hashem. Why? D'amar Rabbi Lazar? Because Rabbi Lazar says, "My dichtiv." What does it mean in Tehillim when it says, "Mi malel gvurot Hashem"? Who should have the chutzpah to declare God's wonder, power? Yashmiya kol tehillato. Someone who can say all of His praise. What's our problem? We're human beings. We can't even begin to fathom God. We can't understand God. God is beyond our comprehension. Every simple statement that we make, like you're great is an embarrassment to God because it's so much less. It's so much below what He actually is. Saying that you are the creator of the world is nothing compared to what God actually is. Every praise that we recite is an embarrassment to the idea of God. So we shouldn't say it. Why should we stand here every day, three times a day, sometimes more, and embarrass God? Oh, and now He should give us what we want? That doesn't make any sense. And now let's go on to the second part of prayer, our favorite part, when we get to ask God for what we want. When we get to ask God for what we want, again, what are we doing? It's an embarrassment. Could we imagine God sitting up there in the heavens? You know, I was going to do what's best for the universe, but Weitzman really wants a new bike. So instead of doing that, I'm just going to give him a new bike because he asked for it so nicely. And after all, he did butter me up. Could we imagine that somehow God is somehow changing His mind and not doing what's best for the universe because we asked Him? We're like giving Him advice, you know, God, you really should stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Dear Ellie, thanks for your interest in how I run the universe. But I've been doing it for a long time. Don't worry. Sincerely, God. I mean, what kind of chutzpah do we have? And this is why we need the symbolism. Just like God builds, as it were, a mikdash, a Beit HaMikdash up in the heavens, to tell us that I know it doesn't make sense, but build me a house anyway. He says, I know you think that davening doesn't make any sense, that giving me praise doesn't make any sense, that asking for things doesn't make any sense, but try it. Because if I do it, you can do it. This, I believe, is the power of the symbolic approach. God says the only way I can convince those darn philosophical humans who can't seem to get past their own rationalism that it's good for them to daven, the only way I can do that is by doing it myself, so gosh darn it, I'm going to do it. So what does God do? I daven upstairs, now you daven down below. Don't worry about the philosophy, I'll work that part out. Ask me for what you want, ask me for what you need. Praise me, you'll be surprised how much you can gain from that relationship. That's the symbolic approach. Davening, even though sometimes it doesn't make philosophical sense, you'll gain more than you realize. The third approach is the mystical approach. And we may have to meditate before we do this. But I'll tell you, it all comes from one of my favorite commentators, Rabbi Tashtel knows, the Noam Elimelech. Rav Eli Malch of Lizhansk, who I think was the second or third generation of Hasidic Rebbes. Rav Eli Malch of Lizhansk, I wish I could find the original source, but it's quoted in every other source in the world, so maybe it was an oral source, I don't know. So Rav Eli Malch of Lizhansk, the Noam Elimelech, he says as follows. He says, listen, I'll tell you what it means. He says, V'simachtim mevei tefilati, tefilatam lo ne'amar ela tefilati. What does it mean, God's prayer? He says, "Shezeh ha'tfila be'atzma shenefes Yisrael mitpalel bekavanat halev." When you daven right, when your heart is in the right place, when everything that you want to say is coming out just right, when you are in touch with your insides and your soul so much that your tefila is really working, then what happens? It's not you davening, the Noam Elimelech says. Be'etzem, Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu mitpalel kaviyachol. It's as if God is davening through you. That sometimes you are so in touch with your feelings, so in touch with your needs, so in touch with who you are and what Hashem wants from you, that your tefillos are so powerful that it's if God is speaking through you. And if you think about it, it makes sense. If our souls are this little slice of heaven that's inside of us, if they're intimately and spiritually connected to Hashem, that it would make sense that the more in touch we are with that soul, then the more related we are to God, to the point where what we're saying is very, very godly. It's almost like prophecy, which I'm not the first one to say this. Shek said that if you want the aspect of ourselves that comes closest to prophecy today, to where we're actually talking to God, then prayer is the closest example. Here have Worship of the Heart, page 7. Let us not forever, however, that although prophecy has come to an end, the immediate apprehension of God has not been eliminated from the perspective of our religious experience. Just because we don't have people today who Hashem is talking to on a regular basis doesn't mean that Hashem stopped talking. The feeling and the sense of God around us is very, very much there. And I believe, oddly enough, the Noam Elimelech and the Ras Soloveitchik are really very much intertwined here. Because both of them are saying that prayer comes from a place that is most connected to God. And that when you're davening right, and when you're saying the words right, and when everything is coming out right, to a certain extent, Hashem is speaking through you. And I don't think we think about that enough. We don't think about how, by saying the words of David HaMelech that were inspired by God so many that by saying the words of the prophets and the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola and the words of Rabbi Gamliel and the sages of Yavne, when we say all of these words, we're essentially tapping into something far greater than ourselves. And that is the mystical experience. The ultimate mystical experience is when you realize that you are just a small piece in something far greater, and you feel totally consumed by it. And the Noam Elimelech says that's what it means that Hashem prays. Hashem prays when you pray right. When you daven right, when you get it, when you feel inspired and you say those things that inspire you, then Hashem is davening through you. And that's an amazing experience. That's wild. That three times a day, we have the opportunity for prophecy and we don't even think about it. We have the opportunity to have a conversation with God, and not only that, but initiate that conversation with God. That's what the Rav says. The Rav says we get one up on the prophets. Right? If God wants to talk to Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu's got to wait to when God... But when we want to talk to God, you could do it three times a day. Morning, afternoon, and evening. It's all for you. And that's an amazing fact if we think about it. What an opportunity that we have to really be in touch with all that's around us, to really feel part of something greater than ourselves, to the point where the words that we're speaking are actually the words of God. That's what the Noam Elimelech is saying. And so I think, again, it's a very odd Gemara. It's a very odd statement in general to say that Hashem prays. The solutions that you see in the various commentators, you see that there really is some sort of power to the statement. The power according to the rationalists, that God wants us to be prayerful people. He wants us to feel like we need Him. And so He's willing to give up on His own philosophical perfection in order that we should feel that need of Him. From the symbolic perspective, that tefillah, despite the fact that it doesn't seem like it should work, amazingly enough, it does. And it doesn't always work, I should say, the way we want it to. You know, tefillah to a certain extent isn't about getting what you want. It's recognizing what you actually need. But that is important as well. And so Hashem says to us, daven, because davening will work for you. And finally, I think this is, you know, kind of where, you know, you take it to the next level. But to a certain extent, when you daven right, when it goes well for you, your words can be the words of God. And the only thing I can hope for all of us is that, I don't know, we take these lessons to heart, and that to a certain extent, you know, this can, I hopefully improve our tefillah, not just today, but tomorrow and forever. And enjoy your day.